As I mentioned, on the Shabbat nearest to Veterans Day, it has become our custom at TBS to invite our guest speaker to share with us thoughts about Judaism and military service. We're honored to have with us tonight Rabbi Lieutenant Steve Balaban of the United States Navy, retired. Rabbi Balaban has spent the better part of four decades connected with the Navy, serving most recently as chaplain assigned to the United States Naval Academy. Rabbi Balaban was ordained in 1986. He also holds a master's and a PhD. He is board certified in clinical chaplaincy, including a specialty in clinical concentration in PTSD. He's been published in the Journal of Pastoral Care and Counseling and in the Oxford Dictionary of Jewish Religion. But to me, most importantly, of all the things that I know about Rabbi Balaban is this. During the time that he was in service at the Naval Academy, he was a tremendously impactful figure for TBS's own midshipman, Tim Leon. Tim and his parents, Stephanie and Vic, unfortunately, are not able to be here with us tonight, but they did email with me earlier today to express, Rabbi Balaban, to you, their great appreciation for all that you did for Tim and for all of the Jewish midshipmen on campus. We are honored tremendously to have you with us tonight, and we wish you a Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, and I'm really honored to be invited to speak to you about Jewish military service and Veterans Day. For those people who know me, Veterans Day is really more special to me than my birthday. I had the chance to go to Denny's this morning for my Veterans Day Grand Slam pancake breakfast. And the best part of it was that I shared it with a lot of veterans, some older, some younger. But Veterans Day is really a special day for those of us who serve. But particularly for me, it's a point of pride because being a Jewish veteran, I think, is unique and an extremely important statement about what it means to be an American. So what I'd like to do this evening is just very quickly share the military service and the impact that three Jews have had throughout American history, and the way in which Jewish veterans and those who serve in the military have really shaped the course and changed the course of American history. So the very first Jew to serve in any military capacity arrived in New Amsterdam in 1654. Jacob Bar Simon and Asser Levy arrived from Amsterdam via London in New Amsterdam. And on August 28th, 1655, the Governing Council of New Amsterdam declared that Jews of the town would not be permitted to serve besides the other residents in the local militia. The reason that they gave was, quote, the disgust and unwillingness of Gentile members of the citizens to be fellow soldiers with the aforesaid nation and to be on guard with them in the same guardhouse. So in other words, Peter Stuyvesant said, along with the town council of New Amsterdam, that non-Jews would be disgusted and revolted to serve alongside of Jews. Now, it should be noted that Catholics and Lutherans were also prohibited from settling in New Amsterdam. On November 5th, 1655, Jacob Bar Simon and Asser Levy attempted to have this prohibition reversed. They petitioned the town council to permit them to keep guard with the other residents or to be free from the tax that Jews had to pay since they were not allowed to serve in uniform. They finally appealed to the owners of the Dutch West Indies Company, which owned the colony. And the answer that the Dutch West Indies Company gave was remarkable. They told Stuyvesant and the council, quote, shut your eyes, at least do not force people's consciences, but allow everyone to have his own belief as long as he behaves quietly and legally gives no offense to his neighbor, and does not oppose the government. And with that statement, they ordered Stuyvesant to allow the Jews who wanted to serve in the militia. It's remarkable because the persistence of these Jews in serving in the militia and carrying arms to defend their residences and their colony became the embodiment of the First Amendment, which would not become the law of the United States for another 120 years. As a result of their efforts, they gave the right for all residents of New Amsterdam, Catholic, Lutheran, as well as Jewish, and any other religious minority, to carry arms and to live in freedom and in peace. The next remarkable advance was Francis Salvador, and I have family from Charleston who are watching this evening, and they know Francis Salvador and the statue to him in Charleston. In 1747, Francis Salvador was born into a wealthy English Jewish family that descended from Spanish Jews who fled to Amsterdam and then England after the Inquisition. His uncle moved to South Carolina in 1733 and bought 200,000 acres of farmland. In 1773, Francis left his wife and four children in London, and he moved to South Carolina and purchased 7,000 acres. Upon his arrival in the New World and in South Carolina, he immediately became active in the cause for independence. In 1774, he was elected to South Carolina's Provincial Congress. He was the first Jew elected to public office in the colonies. Jacob Bar Simon tried to be elected to the Council of New Amsterdam Colony over 100 years earlier, but because Jews were prohibited to serve in public office, he was not even allowed to run. But Salvador was elected and then reelected in 1775 to the Second Provincial Congress, even though Jews in the colonies were still not allowed to vote, nor were they allowed to hold public office. During his two terms in office, he assisted in drafting the state constitution of South Carolina, including the Bill of Rights. He also persuaded South Carolina's delegation to the Continental Congress to vote for independence. On July 1st, 1776, a group of Native Americans who were allies of the British began attacking settlements in South Carolina's interior. Salvador joined the forces defending the settlements, and while riding to one of them on the night of July 31st, their guides led them into an ambush. One of his fellow militia members described Salvador's last few hours of life. Quote, "Here Mr. Salvador received three wounds and fell by my side. I desired Lieutenant Farrar to take care of Mr. Salvador, but before he could find him in the dark, the enemy unfortunately got his scalp, which was the only one taken. He died about half after 2 o'clock in the morning. 45 minutes after he received the wounds, sensible to the last. When I came up to him, after dislodging the enemy and speaking to him, he asked whether I had beat the enemy. I told him yes. He said he was glad of it and shook me by the hand and bade me farewell and said he would die in a few minutes." Francis Salvador became the first American to defend the right of all Americans to vote, and the right of every American, regardless of religion or conscience, to hold public office and exercise the right of self-determination. We jump ahead to the First World War. In 1903, November 3rd, Albert Cohen Jr. was born in New Orleans, Louisiana. He was the only child of Ellen and Albert Cohen. The family moved to Memphis, Tennessee in 1905 and moved into a house on East Beard Street. On April 6, 1917, the United States formally entered World War I, and sometime in the next few weeks, young Albert must have run away from home and taken the train to Birmingham, Alabama. He enlisted without his parents' consent on May 1, 1917, at the age of 13. From there, he traveled to Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, completed basic training as an expert rifleman, and was sent to France as part of a replacement battalion on January 5th, 1918. On October 4th, 1918, he fell in battle in France as part of an attack on an enemy machine gun nest. According to the reports his mother received, quote, "Albert Cohen killed in action in the 2nd Grenadiers as they entered a machine gun nest with his face to the enemy, and no reports could be obtained as the entire company was wiped out." At his death, Cohen was 1 month shy of his 15th birthday and became the youngest American in uniform to die in action in World War I. His name is one of 230 inscribed at the base of the Doughboy Monument in Overton Park in Memphis, Tennessee. He's buried in the cemetery of Temple Israel in Memphis. Albert Cohen's service is a repudiation to the idea put forward by some that Jews have not and do not serve in uniform to defend this country. I cannot think of many 15-year-olds that I have known who would charge an enemy machine gun position and die, as his mother wrote, with his face to the enemy. He is also a reminder that many Jews who serve in the military do so without the support or encouragement of their parents, family, or the wider Jewish community. Jewish military service and the right to defend our nation and its constitution has been an integral part not only of the Jewish story, but of the American story, and more importantly, part of the development and preservation of the oldest democracy in human history. Today, over 70% of Americans are deeply concerned about the state of our democracy and its stability and ability to survive into the second half of the 21st century. Our service as Jews in the military is essential if democracy is to survive. It is not a coincidence that anti-Semitism has reached historic levels on both the left and the right in the United States. Complaints about voting and voting rights has reached levels not seen since the Reconstruction following the Civil War. And the ability to recruit and retain physically, legally, mentally, and morally qualified members of the American public to the military is in steep decline and is considered an issue of national defense, security, and readiness today. Throughout American history, Jews have shown that we will sacrifice all to defend democracy, defend freedom, and that even as children and without our parents' support and permission, we will serve. We must, as a community, continue that legacy if our democracy is to survive and remain healthy. It is the only way that most non-Jews in the military will become familiar with Jews and the importance of supporting the rights of all to follow their conscience. It is the only way that non-Jews in the military will learn the importance of the right to vote and self-determination as the foundation of our democratic ideals and values, and the sacrifices that all have made to secure this right. And finally, the Jewish community has a large and growing population of young people who are qualified for military service. So it is an honor to represent the Jewish community, and it has been an honor for almost 38 years now to represent the American people in uniform. And I thank you this evening for giving me the chance to share a bit about our history as Jews and the impact that our military service has had in our nation's history. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.